So it's my joy to be here again. I think this is my third time this year at HCC. So most of you now know me. Is there anyone who's never doesn't know who I am? Just checking. You don't know. I'm Ruth Brown. This is my husband Paul, and we're based in Royston, and we've been part of the Plumline family for over 25 years. So that's it in a nutshell. Sorry. Is it that long, says Paul? Right. So some of you we've known for many years, and some of you are quite new to Plumline, so, and some of you I've met either here or at the camp, in some of you at Represent Camp, July. Okay. So I understand from Tim that you're following through a book by Mike Pilavachi at the moment. Is that right? Everyday Supernatural. How many people have read Chapter 8? I just want to get... I'm a trained teacher, so this is my initial assessment. Wondering how many people already know what I'm going to say, okay, because I don't want... So if you haven't, don't beat yourself up, that's fine. That makes it easier for me. Okay, so Chapter 8 is all about prophecy. So I presume you had Chapter 7 last week, is that correct? Oh, you're skipping Chapter 7, okay, because this is about hearing God Part 2, this is prophecy. Okay, so as you can see, I didn't get a huge amount of background. I just got the bare bones. I have read the chapter, you'll be pleased to know that. I'm actually, it's interesting because I haven't spoken on the subject of prophecy for quite a while. And as I was preparing yesterday, God started to really excite my heart about the fact that he really wants to speak to us. And that, you know, that we can hear from the living God. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. I was just thinking as we were singing the songs, our God that can move mountains, our God that's conquered death, our God that's a God of the impossible. You know what it takes? It takes one word. He created, he said, let there be light, and it was done. One word from God can change our lives forever. That's all it takes. And his word is very creative. And we're going to explore this subject of prophecy together this morning. You're going to be involved, because you know that's how I teach. Although maybe less so than sometimes. But don't relax too much. Okay, have we got the... Yes, we've got the slides up. So first of all, the first question then, if we're talking about the gift of prophecy, is what is prophecy? So quickly, with your neighbour, have a couple of minutes. What do you think prophecy is? Just talk to your neighbour. What is it in a nutshell? Okay. Anybody like to suggest some things? Who'd like to suggest something? Yes?
The word of God spoken to us through us.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Nice little strap line. The word of God spoken to us through us. It even rhymes. Wow, who can beat that then? Anybody else? Anybody else?
It's a revelation from God.
Prophet. Yeah, but... What is prophecy, though?
Prophecy is a God talk to some prophet and prophesying what God is saying.
Okay, so it can be what God's saying to someone who's called a prophet and who then tells the people what God is saying. Okay, yep.
It's encouragement and exhortation.
Yes, yes, thank you for that, yep. We'll be coming on to that. Excellent, those are all right. This is how Mike Pilavachi defines it. So it's a gift or ability to receive and communicate supernatural revelation for a group, individual, or situation. And just to a bit more succinct, a specific revelation for a particular situation. So whereas the Bible is God's general truth, ultimate truth, truth for all time, a prophecy is God's revelation, his word, for a specific person in a specific time, in a specific place. And for the purpose of this this teaching, we're going to include the word of knowledge, because word of knowledge and prophecy are quite similar. And that is how Mike Bilovacci keeps putting them in together, so that's what I'm going to do. So I think there's one thing to notice about that first definition. It's not just about receiving. It's about communicating. So we can receive revelation, but how do we communicate it? Those two things are both important. So hold on to that thought, because we're going to be unwrapping that a little bit. So we've heard what is prophecy. So then who can prophesy? What do we think? Anyone. Anyone at all? Any Christian. Any spirit-filled Christian. Here's my analytical husband digging down. Any spirit-filled Christian. Okay, does it depend on anything else? Apart from being a spirit-filled Christian? Any other qualifications needed? Belief. Sorry? Belief, yes. We have to be a believer, absolutely. Faith is very important.
Accountability.
Accountability. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Does God give us revelation when we're accountable only? Maybe not. We have to listen to God. Do we always have to listen? Sometimes God speaks to us when we're not listening. Have you had that experience? I have. Sometimes God speaks to people who aren't accountable, and it can actually do quite a lot of damage. Accountability is a good idea, though. Right, okay, so you've got it. So Paul says this. These scriptures are all from 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. And finally, for you can all prophesy in turn. Paul says that three times in one chapter. He says that everyone can prophesy. If he's saying it three times, I think he's trying to make a point. You can all prophesy. We can all prophesy. But there is that caveat. You do have to be a spirit-filled believer, because the gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I think it's also worth saying, and I don't know your name at the back, you've talked about the prophet.
Ron.
The prophet, the ministry of the prophet, is something that is for some people, but the gift of prophecy is for all spirit-filled believers. Okay? So none. If you're a spirit-filled believer this morning, there's no excuse. If you're not a spirit-filled believer, then get spirit-filled. The baptism of the Spirit is free. That can happen to you this morning. Okay, so no excuse for anyone there. And if you're not a believer yet, then you can become a believer today. Okay, so there we are, those three qualifications. All right, so what then is it for? Bobby said about strengthening encouragement. There are two main purposes of prophecy. One is to glorify Jesus, so it always raises up the name of Jesus. It always honours the name of Jesus. It always makes him look bigger, him look greater, him look higher. Not that he can be any higher, as we've just sung. He is the highest. But it makes him bigger in our eyes and in the person who's receiving the word. So it always glorifies Jesus. It's never about the person that's giving it. And it strengthens, encourages, and comforts. And those are two hallmarks of true prophecy. So whereas in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophecies were about predicting the future, in the New Testament, it's really more about strengthening, encouraging, and comfort than it is about predicting the future. It's about building people up. And the reason I've put that in a big heart is because the motivation for prophesying must be love. It absolutely must. It's the root of everything. Love of Jesus and love for other people. Love has to be the foundation. And many years ago, someone said, I got this revelation, or someone said it to me, that if I'm too worried about what other people think about me to prophesy, then my problem is I don't have enough love. Think about it. If I'm more worried about my reputation or me getting it wrong or what other people might think of me, I don't have enough love. And my name is Ruth, which means compassion. But interestingly enough, I've never thought of myself as a naturally compassionate person. But God was just giving me revelation in the worship. I've given you that name for a reason. And one thing that really released me years ago was to hear that actually my compassion, my natural compassion, is not enough. I need God's heart. I need God. So the solution is to ask God for more love for people. And I found often when God gives me compassion, his supernatural compassion and love for people, then he will also release his word to them through me. So if I have the gift of prophecy but have not love, I am nothing, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. So love is the foundation. So without that, we can't even start. So it's important. So we've looked at what it's for then. So now let's get into the nuts and bolts, the practicalities. How does it actually work? So we've talked about, revelation. So it's a revelation from God. And we receive a revelation. And that revelation is inviting us into a closer relationship with God. This is not about a formula. This is about relationship. He's all about wanting us to work in partnership with him. So once we have that revelation, we need to then we need some interpretation. Okay? So we need to know. So we received something from God, but we now need to know what to do with it. We need to understand it, And then thirdly, so interpretation is understanding. And then thirdly, we need to know what to do with it, which is the application. As we grow in maturity in prophesying, we learn when and how to say what revelation we've received. And this is an important growth. It's a learning. It's a journey. And it may be possible to go through that process. I receive a revelation, I interpret what it means, and I apply it. That may happen in an instant. Or it may take many weeks and months of thoughtful prayer. So God may give you a word, and you need to mull it over, you need to pray it over, you need to think about it, you need to ask God how to deliver it, how to apply it, and that could take many weeks and months. Also, there's a lot of revelation God gives us that he never intended us to share with other people. I think that's a really important point. I like Bobby's nodding at the back. So anybody who's really into intercession, who does a lot of intercession, will know that. Because if you've got a gift of intercession, I mean, we can all intercede, but those who do a lot of intercession will receive a lot of revelation from God, and most of it will be to take to prayer, not to be shared. Okay, and so it's really important to get that right. Because sometimes sharing things prematurely with other people can be damaging. And this is a spiritual process, but God uses our natural beings. He uses us. He's a very practical God. It's not about an airy-fairy arm up here in the clouds. We need to connect. You know, it's about being fairly practical and pragmatic. And there is a lot of value in preparing. So we tend to think of prophecy as something, God suddenly gives me revelation and I speak it out. No, actually, there's a lot about preparation. And if you look at the Old Testament prophets, you'll see some of them had to lie on their side for a few months or marry someone who was a prostitute or, you know, weird things. I'm not suggesting any of us do that, but, you know, sometimes it was weeks and months of preparation. God made them live the word before they delivered it. And the preparation demonstrates expectation and intent. And we all know Jean here, and one of the ways she prophesies is she collects cards with pictures on, and so she'll come, won't you? I've been blessed so many times by Jean's word from God. She'll come with a card with a picture, and she'll come prepared with all these pictures, and then wait for God to show her who to share them with or whatever. So that shows expectation intent. You're expecting God to speak through you to people to encourage them, and so there is a value in preparation. So, let's think about this. This is not a formula because it's about relationship. God is unchanging, so he's totally predictable in his character. He's totally faithful. He'll never let us down, always loves us, all of those things. But he is infinitely creative in how he does stuff. So he's not predictable in how he will do things. And he's creative. So there are so many different ways that God can speak through us to other people. It's not a formula. It's because we have to engage. He wants us to work in partnership with him. So a question for you now. During the worship, I see a picture of a chessboard. Does everyone know what a chessboard is first? I'm using this example because it happened to me some years ago. I see a picture of a chessboard. What should I do next? Talk to the person next to you. I see it in my mind vision, picture of a chessboard. What should I do next? So let's be, but not go there. That's a bit. But we do need to test everything. And the way we test it, there are three main ways. So, does it contradict the Bible? If it contradicts the Bible, throw it out. I heard a ridiculous story where someone was saying that they felt God had said they should leave their wife and go with someone else. I mean, look, God just doesn't say stuff like that, okay? Really. It's not rocket science. Does it contradict the Bible? If it contradicts the Bible, it's not God's truth. Simple. Okay. But there are a lot of things that are not in the Bible. So, secondly, does it strengthen, comfort, and encourage? When you share God's word with me, I should feel built up, I should feel encouraged and strengthened, even if it's challenging. And boy, have I given some challenging words to people. But they need to be done to encourage and build up, which is why we must have love as our motivation. If I'm going to deliver a word of correction or a word that brings conviction, then I need to be loving you with God's love. I need to want you to get to receive that word. I need to give it in the best way possible that you can receive it, that you can change, that I'm not coming from a spirit of judging you. Absolutely crucial. Do others affirm it as God's word? Someone, Paul said about maybe talking to other people. And that's particularly true with directional type words, where it's like, I think you should go to Uganda, or I think you need, God wants you to establish an orphanage, or I think God wants you to leave your job, or, these kind of directional type of words, or move house, or it's really helpful if we run those past other people. And do they actually affirm that? Do they agree? So, for example, when Paul and I have moved out, when we first moved to Royston, when we've moved out to do anything new, we've always run those kind of words that we've received. We've always run them by people that we're past people we're accountable to. Really important to get their blessing and their affirmation. Just because they're not with it doesn't mean it's not God's word. It may mean it'd be about timing. But those are the three main things. So we test it against those things. And then we need to share God's word with love and humility. I think hopefully that's come across strongly. It's not I told you so and I'm better than you. It's all about I love you and I want God to take you into a deeper place and I want you to be blessed. It's got to come out of that heart. And if our heart is not right, even if it's God's word, not time to share it. Get your heart right first. Otherwise you do so much damage. Prophecy has done so much damage to people. And, particularly when you've got very strongly prophetic people who don't have much pastoral gifting, we need both. The pastors need the prophetic as well, because they need to sometimes be able to bring those words of correction. But we need both. They go hand in hand.
Do you think that would ever be a rebuking word? A negative rebuking?
Yes. Yeah. I've given people words of correction. Whether they were... I struggled to think of one that was actually prophetic. I had an incident where I went to babysit for someone, and she was a single parent. This was years ago. And on her wall... She was a believer. And on her wall, there was a calendar, which was basically, I'll think Chippendales, think men undress, think... It wasn't quite porn, but it was not particularly helpful. And as I was sitting there, God just spoke to me, you need to tell her to get that down. And I actually didn't take... when she came home, I didn't say anything. I prayed about it. I spent the evening praying about it. I went home and I wrote a letter. And then I actually gave it to her and said, don't open it now, go away and prayerfully consider this. And God gave me the scripture about being pure, purity. And she received the word. No one else ever knew about it. I never shared it with anybody else. Well, possibly Paul. But apart from that, I never shared it with anyone else. Because why should everybody else know about her, that stuff? She sorted out. The next time I went there, it wasn't there. So she sorted it out and got right with God over it. It's a small thing. Could be, yeah. But it's important. We need the prophetic is there to challenge, to bring conviction. And we grow and we learn through practice. So it's like a muscle. The more we do it, the more we grow. And our responsibility is to deliver God's message in the way he shows us. And that way is going to the way that will best enable people to receive it in the right way. And sometimes... others may not receive it through no fault of ours. So again, I'm using examples from years ago because I'm hoping you won't know any of these people. But years ago, we had someone in our congregation who was dying of cancer. And it was really sad. She was a young mother with two really small children. But God's, and I didn't really have a strong relationship of trust with her. That's the other thing. You can put a 9-ton truck over a 9-ton bridge. That's what Simon always used to say. Don't put a 9-ton truck over a 2-ton bridge of trust because it won't work. But I didn't have a lot of trust with her. But this was life and death. You know, she was dying of cancer. And God spoke to me and said the key to her healing is honouring her mother and father. You know where it says, honour your mother and father and you will live long in the land? And I was like, what do you do with that? And I'm like, well, she's dying. How can I not deliver it? So I wrote her a letter and I tried to make it, I did my very best to make it as her able to receive it as she could. But she didn't receive it. And she died of cancer. And she died still saying God was going to heal her. Very, very sad. Age 37. Whether if she'd received that she would have been healed, I'll never know. But I just know that it was my responsibility to deliver the message in the way, the best way she could receive it. And I didn't do it in front of everybody else, and I didn't tell any other people. I just left it with her. So lastly, let's just remember, prophecy is an unearned gift. It doesn't depend on how we feel. God always wants to speak to us. He always wants to speak and encourage us. And, you know, sometimes, have you ever been to a meeting where you think, oh, I didn't pray this morning, didn't read my Bible this morning, I feel rubbish? And then in the meeting, God shows you something. Oh, you disqualify yourself. No, I can't share with someone else because I'm not in the right place. Sorry, it's not about you. It's about what God wants to say to the others. Don't discount yourself. It never was earned, so why are you trying to earn it? Why are you saying I don't qualify? We didn't qualify by earning it, so we're not disqualified because we haven't done what's right, okay? So let's always be prepared to share. Sorry, and God always wants to speak to us. So we are going to, I believe, share communion now. And I think Jean's got something she would like us to encourage one another. What I've done is I've prepared a tray full of objects. And I'm going to put them near the communion table. And these tray of objects, I'd like you to look at them or feel them and ask God, pick one, and then ask God to use that object to give you a word for someone in this room whilst we're sharing communion. Is that okay? Right. Will that fit in with what you were going to do? Yeah. Excellent. Thank you for listening. Let's encourage one another.